Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by shipping cheap parts around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Skip the tariff and snag yourself American-made clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
All right. Well, welcome to the Viking Press Pass. I'm Matthew Nichol, and joining me today from the baseball team, fifth-year senior, Dimitri Kanellakis. So, Dimitri, thanks for connecting with me here tonight. It's a little late one.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Definitely, man. Well, you know, there's quite a few seniors and fifth years, and I want to try and get through them all this year. So I had talked to Aragon just before this and you tonight, and I was like, hey, talk to Cole and Simon and Bendo and all the other guys so we can start doubling them up, because you guys travel a lot. We got a lot of baseball, so not a lot of off days to fill some of these in. Well, hey, man, you know, the Vikings are 6-4. How do you feel the season just, you know, kind of generally been going, you know, so far in your fifth year?
Yeah, so I mean, coming in, I kind of expected this a little bit just because we had a bunch of new faces, very talented freshman class that we kind of figured we're going to make an immediate impact and have. And more of it was just getting us all to kind of blend, because it's important when you have a bunch of older kids and younger guys, especially in a very deep lineup. And over the last few weeks, we are definitely seeing a lot of maturity from that standpoint. You can see that we're starting to flow and come together. So I'm happy with where we're at now, like, because we're starting to head in the right direction. Our pitching's starting to put it together. Our hitting's coming together. Our defense, it's all kind of coming together, because the first few weekends, it was kind of like one would be firing, the other wouldn't. But now it's kind of like we're firing at all cylinders, and it's a good feeling going into Florida and conference for sure.
Yeah. Man, you guys are a dangerous team. I love it. So, I mean, like, what motivated you to come back for a fifth year?
Yeah, so, I mean, at the end of the last season, I was kind of in between two places. Like I knew with my previous two seasons, I definitely could have grad transferred somewhere else. But ultimately, like, why I chose to stay was, like, every single kid in my class was, like, all talking about coming back, and I just didn't want to hang them up for sure. And I kind of knew if we had this foundation, I was not happy with the way last season went at all. And I think a lot of us were not happy. So with the incoming freshmen, I was like, why not give it one more go and kind of try to end this on a good note? Because last year was not a good way to end it for sure.
Yeah. You know, and I also noticed, I mean, this year you moved to left field. You know, I mean, historically you've played, you know, center field, but you know, with Kuhn at center, Hendren and right. I mean, how's the move been, you know, going for you so far?
That's been pretty easy. I kind of, like, came in, didn't really care. Like, I told Wallace that straight up from the beginning, that I was open to anything. I knew the main reason they wanted me back was my bat. So I was like, whatever you got to do. And Kuhn's a very, very mature freshman, understands the game very well for a freshman. And I've gotten to blend with him really well. And I know they talk to me a little bit. I know a lot of people sometimes have a hard time accepting that you might have to change your role, but I kind of not having a hard time adjusting at all. I kind of knew since day one, and I accepted it, and I kind of mentored him since he came in. I told him it's spot's yours. Since he came in, I said, you're going to be playing center. I'm either DHing or left. I was like, I kind of told him that, because I was like, and he took that as like very prideful, because not a lot of upperclassmen would take it that easy, but I said I would do whatever we need to do because at the end of the day, I just want to win. I don't want to, losing sucks, and I don't want to come back and have a terrible season because I'm being a pouty face because I got moved from center, so.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you think about playing left field, I mean, you know, there's a little bit less ground, obviously, you have to cover, but, you know, so it's probably a little bit less taxing maybe on your body a little bit, but, you know, just generally speaking, I mean, what are some of the main differences of playing left field versus, you know, playing center field?
Ball flight for sure. I mean, center, I got to see the whole field, which I loved because I was able to see the ball very well. I say left, it's a little more difficult because you only have one side. You're not seeing both. You only see half the strike zone versus in center. You see the whole field in front of you. And definitely depending on the wind and depending on lefty righty hitter can make it a little tougher. Corner, you also have less distance to cover, but with you having the line right next to you, you also have to be more alert because balls down the line, you have to be immediately going or you're going to be late to it.
Well, I mean, I noticed that, you know, especially Friday night. I mean, when the wind was blowing in your face about 35 miles an hour, it did not make playing outfield, you know, left center any easy because it seemed like
Nope.
you had to make a ton of adjustments and that ball's hanging up there and it's moving around, you know, that looked like it was a little tough. It was hanging that ball up in me. And there's a few times, you know, you could see, you know, you or Kuhn would be, you know, making like a last minute adjustment. And it wasn't like, oh, I'm just moving my, you know, glove 6 inches. It's like, you know, I'm damn near diving backwards to go get it. How tough was that?
Oh, it was extremely tough, and I was telling my coaches that because of the wind, like that one ball that dropped, like I knew a lefty slice, and I knew the wind was going towards the line, but it literally started in left center, hit towards the line, and then went back to center field. There was just like I came running in. I was like, "There's no way I can cover that." You just could not predict that, which makes it tough. So it was extremely tough.
Yeah, a lot of them, I mean, they would just come in and it seemed like it either sometimes just sailed. There's a lot more balls, you know, we're making it to the warning track than I think, you know, initially would. But sometimes
Yeah.
they'd come up and it'd like a gust would hit it and it would just like drop that thing straight down, a little bit like a rocket ship. So, but I mean, hopefully it should be a little less taxing on your body.
100%. That's primary reason why that was one of the biggest reasons they put me in left because of my hamstring issues in the past. Especially last conference tournament. They kind of figured that me running less, I could be used more in offense. So definitely has helped me. I feel a lot better than I have at this point in the season in prior years.
That's good. That's good. Well, we need you. We need you. You know, I mean, you know, you talked a little bit about, you know, Kuhn in center. We have, you know, Hendren, right? I mean, you talked about the maturity of Kuhn, just overall assessment. I mean, how do you feel like the freshmen have been playing, you know, kind of covering, you know, the other side of the field so far?
Oh, extremely well. I've been very impressed with both of them. I mean, both of them have jumped in right away. And for freshmen, you don't usually see them adjust to the game this well. But they both have, and they haven't missed a beat. And have really helped this team because it's helped a lot of us take less pressure. Because a lot of our fifth years, I mean, we have a lot of experience, but having younger guys jump in too, it's kind of nice to like have people around you so you're not making it feel like it's all you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Hackman's doing a nice job over at first too.
Yes, he is.
And you know, I was just thinking about like, you know, you're talking about like the depth. It's like, you know, you take someone like Alex Simon where, you know, gosh, there were times where he was just playing tons of catcher. You know, then you go over to first and you know, he could play third. You know, someone you can, you know, move around that infield quite a bit. It's like, you know, having someone like that be fresh, you know, later in the year, that'd be helpful because it's like, you know, you've got obviously Aragon, you got Simon that can catch, you got Cooley, yeah, it was August Besmer, you know, there
Yep.
as well, that freshman. You know, so there's, you know, you talk about the depth. I I mean, there's a ton of depth. And I was talking to Coach Wallace before the game on Saturday. And I was like, and you had a great incoming class that's A, being impactful, but you know, I would think, and I think you alluded to a little bit, like it seems like it's taking a little bit of the ease of the pressure off, you know, you guys as fifth years, you know, cause all the seniors and fifth years that came back, like that drives a ton of expectation at the end of the day. So, you know, to see them contributing, you know, it'd be nice to be a little bit healthier going into, you know, into the conference tournament and then ultimately into playoffs. So that's awesome. I mean, how do you feel like, you know, your fifth year, how do you feel like you've grown, you know, as a player since, you know, you were at like McHenry County?
I would definitely say that like the mental side of handling failure better I've grown at, which has allowed me to perform the way I've wanted to perform and just understanding my role. Like the game is when you come in more of a leadership position and people not only count you, but like, you know, you have to, there's a certain standard. You kind of play differently. Like it's not like playing necessarily tense, but you understand there's a lot of eyes on you. And it's just adjusting to kind of Coach Wallace's style of play, which is a very old school, hard-nosed approach. So that kind of, when I came in, that's why I kind of didn't have a hard transition, because that's how my high school was. So it kind of fit exactly the way I play. And ultimately, it's like I've had a good career because of it.
Yeah. You know, I've noticed too, and I've said it, you know, when I've been calling some of the games, like, I saw it a lot last year, but even again this year, like your plate discipline right off early in the count. I know when you came in, you know, you were always pretty aggressive, you know, on that first pitch. It seems like your plate discipline continues to get better. You know, last year it really made a big jump. So, I mean, how do you feel like that part of kind of your game has gone? I mean, everybody knows you can hit the ball a mile, you know, but, you know, picking some of those pitches, how do you feel like, you know, that part of your game has kind of evolved?
Yeah. So I feel like it's just understanding what I can hit and what situations I feel like I've gotten better at, but also understanding that years prior, I was more of a middle guy, like 4 or 5, and now this year I'm 3. So I kind of know walking in, most teams are going to throw me off speed early. So like more of my approach depends on where the runners are. If they're in scoring position, less than 2 outs, I'm swinging first pitch. Because for me, it's more of like, if they're going to hang a slider, I'm just going to take what I can and score the run. Because I know I can hit all 3 pitches. And why I would say this year, the reason I struggled early and why I've gone hot is that direct correlation, because I started being attacking more. Because I looked at my numbers, like my number, I don't strike out, but I also do better. I don't miss pitches early ever. And when I do, that's when I struggle. And that's because I've learned, I know how teams are going to pitch me, because I don't strike out. So they're not going to try to, teams are going to try to get myself out. So if I sit off speed early, I'm going to put myself in a better position. And understanding the game, like I have Hackman behind me, and more times than not, if I have Kuhn and Hendren in scoring position, 1 out or no outs, I can be very aggressive because we have multiple opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, talk me through like a little bit of the lineup, and I mean, offensively, I mean, how are you feeling like top to bottom? It's like, you know, I just go off this last lineup, but it's like, you know, Kuhn, Hendren, you, Hackman, Moselle, you know, Thiel or Simon, or, you know, it could be Sosnowski, could be in that DH spot. And then like Aragon or Cooley could be in that spot, you know, then Green and McGinnis, you know, top to bottom, it feels, you know, pretty dangerous. You know, how do you feel like kind of where you fit, you know, at that 3 and just top to bottom, how that's been working so far?
Yeah, honestly, that's something that I've seen. That's kind of like, it's a very balanced lineup that has a lot of, you have obviously top heavy with power, but like you get towards the bottom, like our top three are high contact guys that are not going to strike out a lot. But then you get towards the middle and bottom, you still have guys that can create rallies, that can still put a bunt down whenever. And it just creates it's hard for teams because you have a diverse lineup that can literally do more than one thing. And can stroke around hits, can give the guy the next pitch, and not strike out a lot. Because if you look at our lineup, that's what I think I see, is we're not a lineup that's going to strike out a lot. And the other part is like that what helps having me as a three hole is I'm not your conventional three hole. It's like other teams are going to throw me off speed. But like you saw this weekend, like if there's a guy on first and second, no outs, I can lay it down bunt perfectly to third and pass the bat to the next person, or I can rip a triple in the gap. And it helps keep teams, they don't know where to position you. Because if you watched Buena Vista, their third baseman was 35 feet away from me. So it's going to create this thing where teams are going to have their third baseman in. And if I said breaking ball early and slat and just turn on it down the line, you're going to create chaos and more opportunities for me to expand kind of my offensive game. But that's what gets other guys going. And that's a thing that Kuhn and Hendrick, why Kuhn's a perfect leadoff hitter, is that kid just doesn't miss a barrel and just knows a way to get on base. And that's something we were missing in years past. And from there, you're basically able just to, because like hitting's contagious, it's energy based. And when you're able to pass it down, it kind of just flows. And that's the thing with this lineup, is it flows.
Well, it's funny you're talking about the third baseman. It was Drew Taylor guy. I mean, for a little while he struggled, man. Like he came in close, he struggled. He stayed away, he struggled. It seemed like the third base, both for Buena Vista and Illinois College, struggled against us, and were making a lot of errors. Maybe it's a little bit to your point, right? Like they're not sure where and how to position, because they made quite a few different errors. They just seemed like they were always out of position. But that one, it's like I was looking at the what was it, the BV or no, the BV game. It's like you had an RBI single to like left center. Right after, you had a sack bunt to move Kuhn and Hendren over, in the first inning. And it was like, I couldn't remember last time I saw you lay down a sack bunt in, the first inning, with nobody out. And I was like, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It was really reminiscent, I think, of a couple of years ago of why the offense was so successful. Was playing some of that small ball, moving the runners, and doing some of those things. But again, to your point, being able to hit an RBI single to left center, next up at bat, just it really kind of changes things. So I love it. So I mean, let's talk a little bit about this past weekend. Like, so game one, I mean, it was a shootout, right, with Illinois College. Came out on top, obviously 15-12. I mean, it was great crowd, great weather, super windy. What were just kind of the initial thoughts on the home opener?
I kind of knew it was going to be a shootout the minute we woke up, because 35-mile-an-hour winds, you're blowing out. I don't care how good of a pitching staff you have, the ball's going to carry. So I kind of figured that was going to happen. But I think we did a pretty good job of like responding back from that and still staying on our game and executing off of what they made mistakes on, and just took the game the way we needed to. Because at the end of the day, when you play a 4 month season, 40 game schedule, it doesn't matter how you win. Like every day is going to be different. Like one day you might need more, that you might need to put the ball in the air, hit gap shots, or it might be a 35 per hour, 35 degree day where small ball is going to win you it. So at the end of the day, it's like we kind of knew what was getting, and we were able to basically get the job done and just enjoy the day. It was definitely nice because it was warm out. Friends and family were there, so I mean, it kind of got the vibes in a good position, definitely in the right spot.
Yeah, the basketball team was there, and they were doing a good job of chirping. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Then BV, it's like, I mean, great team. They were coming off a high, you know, a big 16-5, 7-inning win earlier in the day. And, you know, again, like I was in there and me and SID Trevor Jassart and Coach Wallace were, you know, just chatting on a few things. And I was like, oh, you know, they starting, you know, Mark Eady and I was like, oh, you know, he's kind of their ace. You know, he's coming off of, you know, some big wins. But I was like, you know, we can hit him at the end of the day. And you know, you guys cooled him off pretty darn quick. You know, it was nice that, you know, McGraw came in and man, he really stepped up and, you know, Fisher, you know, took over in what the eighth, I think, or seventh. And, you know, he had a, you know, he closed the game out really well, but, you know, overall it just felt like, you know, it was a pretty solid game against a pretty solid team. And, but again, just, you know, going into you know, someone like Mark Eady, you know, is there anything that you try to game plan or you try to think about, you know, as a hitter?
No, I honestly, like, I've always kind of been this way. I don't really, no matter who we play, no matter what ace they have, I kind of just, I understand their strengths, but I kind of, they're going to try to beat you with their best stuff. They're just going to try to get you out, and you have to find out how they're going to try to get you out. And I kind of saw early on what his MO was. Like, he's not beating you with his fastball. He's not beating anyone with his fastball. His changeup is probably the best changeup we're going to see all year. And his breaking ball kind of piggybacked off of that. That's why he was so effective, and that's why, because we talked about it today. We said if he threw more changeups, it would have been a different game. If he relied on that more, it would have been a completely different ball game, because he had us out with his changeup. He got me out with it. He got a lot of kids out in front on it. He tunneled very well. And definitely, if he stuck with that, would have been a different ball game.
Hmm. Interesting.
Because we were talking about that the whole entire game. We kind of picked up right away. We were like, hit the fastball. Because we knew his off-speed was, he could locate it. All three of his pitches kind of started from the same place but ended in three spots. And his changeup was straight north to south. And it died hard. So it was very hard to, you saw it out the hand, you're like, oh, it's a fastball.
Interesting. Now, I mean, you know, given it was like 40, 50 degrees, you know, wind was blowing a little bit, you know, more out to like right field that game. The cold weather, I mean, does it change any way in terms of like how you think about kind of approaching the ball or, you know, how you're approaching, you know, kind of standing in the box at all?
Yeah. And our coach would want us to say no, but in reality it does. Cause I mean, a lot of us, like I have very quick hands, but I have a very hard time in the cold loosening up. And I'm very rotational, and if I can't fully rotate, it changes a lot of things. So more as like when I'm in a cold, I kind of just approach about see ball deep, hit it on the ground, find a hole. I don't think about air. I don't really think about hitting on the line. I just think about just get it done is kind of my approach, because I know when it gets warm, I can let it fly. But when it's cold, like I just tell myself battle and just find a hole and run like crazy.
That's a good plan. Worked well. you know, thinking about some of the fields, you know, what's been maybe one of the your favorite ballparks you've played away from home, you know, while at Augie?
It has to be University of Iowa. Can't beat it. I mean, you got a 70-degree day. Most people never get to play on a field like that. Like, the entire atmosphere, the vibe, everything was something else. Like, I mean, I took it all in. That would probably be my favorite college game. As much as I loved winning the CCIW, it was just like, it wasn't some just like throwaway game. Like, they played their starters, they threw their top bullpen guys, like, and they just came out with a different energy. And, like, you kind of play to that energy. And their entire field is just everything state of the art.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, so mad, man. Like, I had Friday off work because my son wrestled at state that weekend. And work-wise, I just couldn't get my schedule to work out in time to get up there. So I was I had every intention of getting up there too, because it's about, you know, 45 minutes from here. Mm-hmm. But that's the one I wished I could have made it to. Cool stadium, man. Really cool stadium. Now, do you prefer, like, you know, natural grass, kind of dirt infield, grass infield, or really, like, would you rather play on, like, that synthetic type field that Iowa has? Or does it a little bit depend? I mean, gosh, I mean, if it's 90 degrees and, you know, beaten down, and obviously it's about 15 degrees hotter there, but I mean, what type of field would you rather play on?
I mean, like, I've never really had a preference. Baseball has always been baseball to me. So I kind of have never really, I like hard surfaces. So if, like, I love our field because it's hard. A lot of people hate it, but I love hard surfaces. So that's why I love turf. But, like, most college and MLB stadiums are hard surfaces. And just my opinion on that's forced into the ground for running. You're able to run faster because you have more of an even surface to run on. So I would say if you're going to count, like, average Division III fields, probably turf. But if you're going to go more of a Division I pro level, then definitely natural.
Yeah, I heard when I was talking to Coach Howard, I think one of their potential asks was a synthetic field. I think it's part of this, like, this broader, like, 15-year plan. So, man, I remember I called the first game at Bruner Field when it opened up in 2004 or 2005. So, you know, it's a first. I mean, it's some time coming. So, now, you know, I was looking at, I threw some stats out there on X earlier, but I'll read some stats here. But, like, right now, Vikings team has on-base percentage of .437, which is best in the CCIW, top 50 in Division III. Sack bunts, number one in the CCIW, is top 25, or excuse me, is top 21 in Division III. Scoring is just over 9 runs a game, best in the conference, top 50 in Division III. And then on the other side of it, K's per 9 inning is 9, which is second best in the CCIW, 68th in D3. And then hits allowed per 9 inning is just under 9, which is second best in the CCIW and, like, 68 in D3. So, I mean, you know, it feels like early on, you know, this team is really clicking. I mean, what's your take on just on how this offense has been, you know, coming together so far this year? Because, you know, you were talking a little bit about the Iowa game. Like, yeah, it was an exhibition, but you didn't play that way. And frankly, you know, inning what, 2 and inning 3, you know, the team left 3 on base. I mean, there's potentially 6 runs there, and it's a completely different ball game. You know, but generally speaking, like, I mean, how do you feel like just offensively this team is starting to come along?
Yeah, I would say we're definitely finding our image, and guys are finding out what they need to do. And when we're loose, we're dangerous, and that's going to be the key moving forward, is not allowing external circumstances to get in the way, and understanding that, like, everyone in front of us, there's no one that can beat us but ourselves. Offensively, I think we can out-hit every single team. So it's more of just going into games understanding that we have it, because our offense is really good. Like, this is probably one of the better offenses I've been a part of. And we just have such a diverse, balanced lineup that can do so many things. And we don't need a long ball to do that. And that's the big thing, is we can, but we have guys that can swing it. And I've just seen since Florida, guys are really starting to step into their roles and become dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good test when you guys go down to the Rust mat here. You know, you guys have got a pretty, you know, pretty good lineup. I mean, gosh, you're going to be playing St. Olaf, Ramapo, you know, Wisconsin La Crosse is ranked. You know, Kalamazoo has, you know, has generally been, you know, a team that's been, you know, ranked over the last few years. you know, before we come back into CCIW play. And, you know, so that's a big tournament. You know, some pretty darn good opponents. So I think, you know, come back 3 or 4 wins, you know, under the belt, and that's going to be a pretty solid outing. So,
yes.
Now, do you feel like you've been, and we talked a little bit about like you in the 3 spot, but I mean, do you feel like you're getting pitched to any differently in that 3 spot this year?
100%. I mean, when I was 5-hole, I was getting a lot of fastballs. I am definitely first time around. Like I'm there, I am getting pitched to a little differently. I would say guys are, depending on who we're facing. I know I'm getting a lot more 2-seam in, sliders, and those are my weakness is 2-seam in. So, it's just acknowledging that and counterbalancing that. But I've kind of changed my approach to just get the job done. So like, I'm not really, I kind of go up there and I give I'm going to go what's given to me, because if I sit fastball, I'm going to struggle all year. Cause I can guarantee you, once I get to CCIW, being a 5th year, being that I've been hitter of the week multiple times, my numbers, like they're not, but you can't go in there not thinking guys are going to throw you fastballs, because then you're going to get yourself out. But I just know that teams are going to pitch me differently depending on situations. Now, if there's no one on 2 outs, okay, probably gonna get fastball. But runners in scoring position early on, breaking ball, but second time around, they might pitch you backwards. So definitely I've seen it, but it's also depending on kind of situations, weather of day, kind of what the pitcher's feeling, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's close out with, you know, so a couple of different topics here. So I'm always curious on how people get mentally and kind of physically ready before a game. Is there anything like in particular that you do, you eat, you listen to, anything in particular to your routine?
So my biggest routine is I shower before every game, and I have to, or I won't be able to like play. And that's because like I use it as whatever's happened before is gone. Yeah. And that kind of locks me in for the rest of the day. I've always done that no matter what sport I played. And I don't really have music or food. I do whatever I want. I don't use that stuff, but it's usually shower that gets me locked. And then once I'm there, it's try to have as much fun. And I've started learning to not, like, I don't lock in usually until game time. My coach tries to get me to be locked in all 24/7, but I'm not, because I get too fixated and that's how I play worse. It's different. I definitely will say I'm kind of like a black sheep when it comes to kind of like conventional style. I kind of play with this smile on my face all the time. It's easy kind of when I'm in my zone, that's kind of where I'm at, looking in the stands. I know he hates that, but that's kind of how I relax myself, because like I get fixated because I hyperfixate. And if I don't utilize those releases, that's when I perform poorly. So I'm more of like heads in the clouds at times, but then when I need a lock in, which is when I walk in that box, 100% locked in. But even on deck sometimes, like on deck, like I'll try to be loose and I'll just pick up what they're throwing usually beforehand and I'll just go. That's kind of, it's different. Like I will say it's definitely different. I'm going to say that because most players don't do that, but I'm just like, if I think about it, I'm going to play bad. So
do you do any like visualization, like exercises at all, or does that kind of get you too locked in?
So I do sometimes. I know pregame sometimes I just see myself putting the ball in the gap. Like I know against Iowa, I was telling myself I was going to hit a double off the wall and I hit a double down the line. But usually depending on the day, usually I visualize myself hitting the ball hard, and that kind of pre-positions whatever's coming. And like I'm going to say this, I'm not trying to be like negative, but like being a 5th year, being around the sport for 20 years, I'm like, I've seen so many different pitching styles with my experience because I got to play out in New York my freshman summer against a lot of high-level Division I arms that I kind of like when I watch it, I can kind of just pick up. And like the less, I would say the less I put in, like the less pressure and the less emphasis I put on it, the better I play. It's more of like, I'm not saying like if I, for me mentally, it's just if I'm mentally there, it's the physical is going to be there.
Yep.
Because I can kind of just visual, I'm a visual learner. I can kind of just watch it and then make it happen. And that's why I try not to put too much in when in game. Like practice, obviously. That's why in practice, I kind of have a routine with my swing that I need to get down. But once that's there, it's like when games come, it's more about just going. And it's definitely a little different to what our style of play is, for sure. But that's kind of just how I've done my thing.
Yeah. Now I don't, we didn't have them queued up this weekend, but what'd you select as your walk-up song this year?
Yeah, it's better than last year. I know Howard hated mine last year. I did a Legend London Bridge by Fergie.
What was it last year?
But I did the big, it was Boy's a Liar by like Ice Spice.
Okay.
It was terrible. I did it on purpose though, as a meme. Because I knew Howard was going to hate it, so I did it on purpose.
That's funny.
I was like midway through the season where I was like, I should change this because I'm playing terrible. But.
I like it. I mean, what's been, so you talked about Iowa. Is that probably, one of your favorite memories then so far at Augie is playing at Iowa?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard not to because it's like a once in a lifetime opportunity. But I would definitely say the conference championship in 23 when we hosted doesn't really get much better than that. That season we had the Milliken series where we came back, walked it off twice. Like every game we came from behind, won that. In that year it was just different. And it's like, it's hard because like those were like at the highs. And then last year we saw kind of lows, and then we came back in the conference tournament. I mean, I didn't. It just is hard because like playing at home in the conference tournament is just something else. Like you don't really get the host every year, so I would definitely say that in Iowa were my top two favorite moments.
What about a favorite game that sticks out to you?
I would say one of my favorite games would be John Hopkins from last year. We had them on the ropes, but it was also because it was one of those games where like it was one of my best games in my college career. Because I think I went like 4 for 5 with like 6 RBIs or something. And there was just so much energy going into it. And I thought like after there, like that for me was like, oh, this team's going to be different this year. Because it was just so much fun.
Yeah, because I was trying to think of one too, and it was like against that 23 year. You went 5 of 5 against Rockford. I think you were just a home run short of the cycle. I think you had everything else, and had 7 RBIs and like 107, one slugging, like ridiculous. Now, who was like your, favorite player or, in team kind of growing up?
So, my mom's from the East Coast, so I was always a Mets fan. And I know I got a lot of crap for growing up because the Mets always are going to Met, as everyone's going to say. But, yeah, growing up, I always idolized Mike Trout just because he played the game the right way. I mean, he did everything right, and he was just a generational talent. I mean, as I've gotten older, Barry Bonds is someone I've watched a lot of, and I know a lot of people are very controversial because of his steroid use, but just from the pure hitting ability, and not just from his swing, but his mental approach to it, you can't argue that he's one of the greatest to ever touch the field. And just hearing him speak about hitting, like he was my light years ahead of everyone around him. Like him, Tony Gwynn was another guy I loved because they're just their understanding of not just the swing but the game. Like they would know what's coming before in a game that's unpredictable. So, but I've always been a lifelong Mets fan.
They're there's a video where it's talking about is Barry Bonds, but then it's like Glavin, and they were talking about always going up against each other. It's a pretty cool. It's like playing, you know, high level chess. You know, while everybody else is, you know, trying to even play checkers. At some of those times, but yeah, I mean, Tony Gwynn was ridiculous. I asked Southwick this, and Aragon couldn't give me a great, he couldn't think of one. I don't say he couldn't give me a great one. He couldn't think of one, but, if we had the Dimitri Kanellakis story, who's the person that's playing you in that movie?
Who? Don't make it funny. I'd say Aragon.
What's that?
I would say Aragon.
Would play you?
Yes. I mean, I've known the kid since fifth grade. So the kid can embody me better than most people. Like, I'm being said, like, I've known him since middle school, and his impressions of me are spot on.
I like it. I like it. Well, you know, hey, he's got a. Maybe he has a second coming as an actor, you know, afterwards. So the biography of for you. So, well, and then really lastly, I mean, you know, as a fifth year, you know, what's one piece of advice you'd give, or maybe you've already given, to a freshman or sophomore that's on the team right now?
Cherish every moment, because it goes faster than you think, and once you're in the other side of, like, actual real life, you're going to miss it. But also understand that, like, there's more to life than just baseball. Like, that's my biggest piece, is I didn't learn that until my senior year, and I wish I learned it earlier, because I definitely would have performed better. At the end of the day, it is just a game. And if you're able to balance your life and your sport and not let it overconsume you, you'll have not only easier time once it's over, like trying to walk away and adjust to real life, but you'll also have better performance, because you won't dictate that's who you are. Because you go to, I mean, you came to Augustana because it's liberal arts. You have more than just baseball. You're more than just an athlete. And that is something I think even my junior, as good as I did, if I was that person I am now, definitely would have played better, because I would have had a better time disassociating and understanding that it is just a game. And you take that and you commit to it and you actually want to be there, you're going to put the effort in, rather than making it sound like this is a job.
I mean, what, you know, what is the plan for, you know, after, you know, things are done at Augie? Have you thought a little bit about that at all?
I'm still figuring that all out, but, I know I studied finance and management, so I'm probably going to go that route. I mean, I've been interviewing places, still trying to get that all done. But, I mean, it's going to be work and enjoying life. But, I mean, baseball is still always going to be some part of my life, like either coaching or whatever. I mean, I've talked to some friends about potential indie ball, but we'll see what the body is and all that. But, I mean, the next chapter, utilizing what I invested in, this degree, and helping give back. I definitely will coach down the line. I'm looking more towards, like, I love hitting, so that's something. I've been doing hitting lessons for the past 4 years, but I want to kind of take that to the next level and do more of the psychological aspect. And I think a lot of kids struggle with that, and I think if they learn from a young age how to accept failure as a good thing, once they get to high school, they might not hate baseball as much, because you're going to constantly fail and hate your life if you don't. And I think a lot of us kind of had a backwards approach to it growing up, where we were taught more as to not embrace failure, yet we were more taught to fear failure than embrace it. And I think that would help them a lot. So,
well said. We'll end on that note. Well, Dimitri, thanks again for joining me tonight. Appreciate it. And certainly good luck tomorrow. I mean, you know, Vikings host Dubuque, so that'll be 6 o'clock game. I'll be there as well, but again, appreciate you jumping on tonight and taking a little bit of time out of your night here.
Of course. Thank you.